Are you looking for a comprehensive and convenient online health fitness training platform? Look no further than Vikido Fitness Academy. With a variety of programs designed to meet your needs, this platform offers everything from weight loss and wellness group coaching programs to an emotional intelligence course. You'll learn what to eat in order to achieve optimal health and energy levels. You'll have access to exercise training, live coaching meetups with myself, Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe, and other instructors, as well as support and accountability throughout your journey. Whether you prefer to work out at home or at your favorite gym, Vikido Fitness Academy makes it easy to follow along with their programs. So get started on your journey to better health and fitness. Visit vikidofitness.com/VDF Academy.
The views and opinions expressed are for general informational purposes only. Consult with your physician or medical healthcare provider for medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment.
Today, we talk about strength training and muscle health and their role in our health and longevity. Maintaining muscle mass and function help us to have quality of life as we age. Joining us is Dr. Gabe Sanders, an assistant professor in the School of Human Services at the University of Cincinnati. Dr. Dave Sanders' research focuses on sports science and human performance, wearable technology, daily workloads, and fatigue in athletes. Dr. Gabe has been with our Vikido Fitness team as well for well over 10 years, writing our blogs and helping to design our exercise training programs on our Vikido Fitness Academy platform. He is here with us to talk about the importance of strength training and muscle health and to give us tips on how we can combat chronic diseases and age gracefully. All this and more on It's All About Health and Fitness.
Welcome to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. This program is brought to you by Vikido Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum. Now, here's your host, Vicki Doe and D. Banks Bright.
I'm Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe, and with me is the one and only Dr. Virginia D. Banks. What's going on?
How are you, Vicki Doe? I haven't said this for a long time. Don't you know?
Yes.
I can say it about once every 6 months. Yes. Vicki Doe, what you know?
Hey, listen, I know that it's getting cold. That's what I know.
Oh, my goodness. I think we're in for it. We're getting teased. We're getting teased. Mm-hmm. Weather's dropping, a few snowflakes. We're getting teased. We're getting ready to have. And next week, it's going to be very cold. I don't know if you saw the forecast, yes, but it's going to go down.
Yes, it is. So we got to get ready. What they say, get ready, Freddie.
Yep. Might as well.
But we're here today, and this is episode 274. And today we talk about strength training and muscle health and their role in our health and longevity. And research has shown that maintaining muscle mass as we age impacts our chances of experiencing age-related diseases associated with metabolism. And studies have also shown that muscular strength is inversely associated with the incidence of many chronic diseases such as cardiovascular disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. Maintaining muscle mass and function helps us to have quality of life as we age. Regular strength training or resistance training is a way to maintain muscle mass and to build muscular strength. According to the CDC, regular strength training is associated with lower risk for cardiovascular disease and other chronic diseases. And so the American College of Sports Medicine recommends that we do regular strength training for the major muscle groups on at least 2 or more days per week. And so we have joining us Dr. Gabe Sanders. He's an assistant professor in the School of Human Services at the University of Cincinnati. And Dr. Gabe Sanders, his research focuses on sports science and health performance, wearable technology, daily workloads, and fatigue in athletes. He is also the co-founder of a podcast platform called PodScholars.com, a place where researchers upload and talk about their scientific research. And as you know, Dr. Gabe Sanders has been with us, our Vicky Doe fitness team, for at least 10 years, probably more, helping us as a writer for our VickyDoeFitness.com blog and helping us design some of our exercise training programs for our Vicky Doe Fitness coaching app. And so Dr. Gabe will be here with us today to talk about the importance of strength training and muscle health and give us tips on how we can combat chronic diseases and AIDS gracefully. So what do you say, Dee?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You guys go back a long way. It'll be good to see you guys back together again.
Yeah, we go way back. Yes, we do. And so this is going to be definitely a great show. And then I forgot to say, you always going to tell us the latest on what's going to come and get us.
Coming to get us. What is coming to get us?
What is coming to get us? And so, yes, we have a good show and a great show today. On our show, it's all about health and fitness. And so make sure you go to our resources page, VickyDoeFitness.com/resources. And there you will find our tools, our products that will help you reach your healthy lifestyle goals. And yes, this is a new year, Dee. I didn't say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
This is a new year. And so
Happy New Year. Yes.
Happy New Year. This is a time to get started. You can have your new slate. You can go back and get started on your health and fitness. Maybe some of y'all waited till the last week of December to start, but that's okay. You got a whole year to start right now. And we have some of the tools that will help you. We have that on our resources page. And we have a variety of things. We got yogadownload.com, The Right Stuff. That's a medical supply for caregivers or for any of you guys that need some of the things that are on that website. Go to and check that out. Art of Tea. You know, I'm always drinking tea. Wonderful blends of tea, Art of Tea. You can go on the resources page and click in and find that. My Lab Box. If you want to get some of the blood work, some of the things that you need on your own, you can subscribe to that. They'll send you what you need and then you'll send it back. And then they will get your results. And you can talk with a physician on that platform that will help you, you know, go through the results and tell you what you need. Ecolunchbox.com. Check that out. Alive Core, which is a cardio, which is a gadget or app that you can put your thumbs on and you can see your EKG or your ECG results of your heart rate. And all of that. We have much, much more. But let's talk briefly about yogadownload.com because that's one of the things that I'm trying to start doing more often. Pick at least a couple of days a week where I'm doing yoga or Pilates because those type of exercise are very, very good for core strength training for your core. And yoga.download is the premier online destination, I should say, for downloading streaming online. They have streaming online yoga, meditation, Pilates, bar, and fitness classes. And they've been online since 2009. They offer 1,700 plus classes taught by professional instructors, including world-renowned yoga teachers. And so make sure you go to our resources page, VickyDoeFitness.com/resources, and check them out. And remember, when you use any of the affiliate links to buy any of the programs and the products and services on our resources page, you're supporting us here at Vicky Doe Fitness. And as always, what do we say, Dee?
Thank you for your support.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. Well, Dee, like we said, Happy New Year. Oh, my goodness.
Happy New Year. Oh, my goodness. I know. I mean, it's almost the middle of January talking about Happy New Year.
Guess what? Right? That's what I'm talking about. And in a minute, we're gonna blink and it'll be May.
It'll be no question. You know, I'm just looking for the days to get a little bit shorter. You know, I'm tired of waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning and it's still, that's another one of those things about getting motivated and get up. Not only is it cold here, but it's dark here.
It's dark. You know, it's cold.
It's dark and cold.
And trying to go and work out can be something, but we always say, always have some kind of spot or place in your house, just like you got an entertainment spot where you can look at your TV and everything.
Right,
have a spot where you have some type of equipment, either a bike or a treadmill, a few weights, so you can do something at home. And then, yes, also try to have some type of things that you do on a regular basis, because it's no excuse, folks. We got it, though. We have so much things that we can plug into. We got our phones. We got our apps now. You know, we can do something. There's no excuse now. We can do something, right, Dee?
Absolutely.
That's it.
You can do, as our guests have said, something is better than doing nothing.
Something is better than doing nothing. And so, yes, I'm excited. I got a new slate. But what I'm trying to do this year, one of my resolutions this year is to stay focused and go back and finish some of the projects that I started and didn't finish. So this is my finishing year, you know, finish up. Because you know how you start stuff and you get distracted and it doesn't.
Absolutely.
Right. So,
absolutely.
So that's what I'm doing this year. So what about you, Dee? How was your week?
You know, we've been diving back into, those of us in the hospital, just diving back into how sick people are. You know, we just haven't really had a chance to come up for air. When I got back from vacation for New Year's, it was full speed ahead. The hospitals are looking like they did when, you know, and this is also part of what's the latest. The hospitals are starting to look like what they did in 2021. A lot of COVID, a lot of RSV, and more flu than I've really ever seen admitted to the hospital. And part of the problem is, as I've said on television, is that people are not aware of what the situation is, because all they report now are hospitalizations and wastewater. So unless you have your neighbor across the street who's getting COVID and the neighbor down the street who's getting COVID and somebody else is getting COVID, which is happening, you don't know really how bad it is. So yeah, so we're in a crisis. It's not a pandemic and people aren't dying, but people definitely are getting admitted and people are getting co-infected. They're coming in with COVID and RSV, which makes a bad combination.
Right. So maybe we should pull out. I've been pulled out. The Lysol. We should be careful of where we going now. We kind of probably better chill back on all these gatherings now, you know?
I have said that, you know, we finished the Thanksgiving and then there was Christmas. But people forget now there's another big gathering for football playoffs. People are going to be congregating around with the people with football this coming weekend and next weekend and then Super Bowl. So, yeah, people need to kind of, you know, dial back a little bit, because this new variant that's out there, the JN1 variant, is pretty infectious. So
well, I know you were busy, Dr. Nate.
We were busy. Both, I mean, it's almost like we see a lot of the same patients. So it's Dr. D and Dr. Nate, Dr. D and Dr. Nate, and then whoever's pulmonary. So you see us coming down the hallway, seeing each other's patients going in and out of the room.
I know, but at least they got they have good people, good physicians taking care of
them. Yeah, that's true. That's also very true.
Yes, and so we appreciate all that you guys do. Yes, we do.
Thank you.
So what is going on this week, Dee?
Everything. thing.
Yes, I thought it was interesting that we really talk about January. I didn't realize that January is National Thyroid Awareness Month. And so, yes. And so I want to really talk about, you know, just put that out there that January, March, National Thyroid Awareness Month. And according to the American Thyroid Association, that's ATA, 1 in 10 people suffer from a thyroid disorder. And at least 1 in 8 women will develop a thyroid disorder during her lifetime. And so Thyroid Awareness Month, which is this month in January, is marked every January to emphasize the importance of thyroid health. And the theme of the Thyroid Awareness Month this year, 2024, is nurturing thyroid health, knowledge, detection, and wellness. And yes, another thing to know and realize that more than half of the people in the United States, they suffer from a thyroid disorder and they are undiagnosed. And so it's important that you go, you know, because I went to my doctor and found out that I had a little issue and stuff and didn't know, you know, I just had to go and check. And so it's important that you do go, because a lot of us still function. We're not fatigued. We're not doing all this stuff, but it's still important to have your numbers checked and make sure that you have good thyroid health. There's updated information and questions and guidelines for folks that you can ask your physician. Even healthcare professionals can go on this site. It is called www.thyroid.org. They have all kinds. When I look, they have all kinds of the latest research and guidelines and techniques on what you should think about, even healthcare professionals, because, you know, thyroid issues affect everything.
If your thyroid is out of whack, everything is out of whack. And I might add that for those, especially women over the age of 50, certainly over the age of 60, make sure you get your thyroid checked, because a lot of older women have hypothyroidism, low thyroidism. You may not be all overwhelmed, fatigued, but those little, the numbers, you know, you may be asymptomatic, but the numbers point to the fact that you have hypothyroidism, which is a natural, something that's naturally, you can naturally find in women that are older. So, you know, you're right, Dr. Vicky, if the thyroid is out of whack, everything is. And people don't understand, it's such a small organ, but it controls so much in your body, so much.
Yes, it does. And so that's what I said, yeah, we got to talk about that and make sure that we, you know, talk about that health awareness of your thyroid, because you can't, we can't take that lightly, your thyroid health, your thyroid health. All right. So go look. It's a whole nice. They have videos. They have all kinds of stuff on this website, www.thyroid.org. All right. Well, Dee, you know, I did watch the Golden Globes. Did you?
I did, too.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about it? I wasn't impressed.
It was a yawn for me. I mean, it was a big yawn. It was, you know, everybody's had their opinions and stuff, but I mean, I kept saying to myself as we were going through, if this is the prelude to the Oscars, I don't know, I'm gonna be a slow walker turning it on and watching something else, because it was just boring.
It was boring, wasn't it?
Boring as heck. And it was still, you know, and I mean, I know that, but it was just the typical Hollywood. You know, you notice if Samuel L. doesn't show up, Denzel doesn't show up. They just decided, let us continue to hone in on our craft, be the best that we can be, and not get into all this political climate of who votes on me as the best actor, because it's really becoming very political.
Yeah, you're correct.
And it's not based on who are the best in their craft. It's just so political, you know, and that comedian that I've been saying constantly about his crack on Robert De Niro, I thought that was awful, because he made that comment about, well, you know, how'd you have a baby? And his wife looked terrible. And it was kind of one of those, you know, that's been my soapbox about HIV and STDs in women over the age of 50 or 60. So it's like, you're implying that people over a certain age don't have sex and can't have babies and all of that, which is why STDs are missed. sexually transmitted diseases are missed in women over the age of 55 and 60 because people think you're dead. They don't want to ask any questions. I mean, yesterday I had somebody that came over. I mean, not that I'm all that in bag of chips, but I had a guy, Medicare sent somebody over for health and wellness. And he comes over and he asks me everything about my health known to man. Every single thing. Not one thing about sexual health or if I even was or wasn't. It was nothing about it. So I could have been sitting here with gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV, you know, any of that.
What they say, a poison pit. You could have had all kinds of...
You know, I could have been STD Mary sitting over here. And so we know that in assisted living places, we're having problems with STDs. You know, you got one or two or three men for 15 women and everybody's creeping around and this, that, and the other. It's a real problem. So that was my soapbox. But I just basically overall didn't find him funny.
No. What was his name? Joe Coy or something?
Joe Coy, something like that. And everybody's like, well, you know, he's a brilliant comedian. Well, I guess it would be like if you saw Richard Pryor for the first time and he bombed. I can't tell.
Yeah, because I've seen his stuff on Netflix and some of his stand-up.
Where you see him? Because where do you find him?
He's on Netflix. He has some and he is funny. But
That's what people say.
But for that, I was like, no, he should have rehearsed or done something because that was not, no. He was not funny.
You know, somebody said, well, and maybe he should have read the room to realize a lot of comedians decided they didn't want to do it. Maybe for the same reason.
That's it. Because so people don't get that. People don't get your jokes, you know, there.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
No. It didn't do it for me.
No, it didn't. No. Mm-mm. But we shall see because, you know,
the SAG Awards are coming up next and then the Oscars are coming up. So we'll see.
We'll see. They did. I saw Oprah there and The Color Purple. They were there representing.
Yeah, well, you know, there's that controversy. I don't know if you saw it was there. They repeated it on YouTube where Oprah was with Fantasia and the other woman who played Sophia and Gail addressing the issues about Taraji B. Henson.
Yes.
And whether they do or do not have a feud going on. And, you know, so it just, I don't know where, you know, because Taraji B. Henson said they didn't have a car for him. And I don't know. Oprah wasn't exactly convincing to me in terms of how she addressed all those issues. So I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we shall see. You know, the truth.
We shall see.
The truth does always. The truth does eventually come out, doesn't it?
It'll come to the top. It'll surface to the top. Yeah, it'll surface to the top. I mean, Taraji B. Henson. Let's face it. Of all those actors on there, she's been on more movies than anybody else.
Oh, big time, big time.
Of anybody else on there, remember when she was in that movie with
Button? I can't think. Ben something Button.
Benjamin Buttons. Right?
Okay.
With,
yes.
What's his face?
Yeah, Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yes.
And remember, wasn't she in the movie with the guy from Empire where she played like the prostitute?
Yes.
Remember that movie?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Really,
I think it was Hustle and Flow.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's going back more than 10 years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
So of anybody in that movie, she should have had top billing. I'm sure she did. I don't remember where she was in the lineup, but you know, she's paid her dues. So she really did have room to speak up about getting paid.
Yeah, but we shall see.
yeah.
Because Oprah was just looking at her like.
You know, I'm just saying the stuff will come to the top. You know, Gail was trying to have Oprah to respond to it. But as somebody, I was reading another commentary. You know, to get Oprah to have that much conversation and try to backtrack about what she did and didn't do.
No.
As my cousin and dear friend in Cleveland, who's a judge, said, there's her story, his story, and somewhere in between is the truth.
That's it. And like I always say, me and my colleague, Wayne Smith, we always say, there's two sides to that pancake. Figure out what you flipping. Figure out what you flipping, baby. Two sides.
I like it. I'm going to have to steal that.
Yeah, there's two sides to that pancake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Two sides to that pancake. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes,
indeed. But we shall see, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Well, you know, give us the latest, D. You know, we always, you were talking a little bit about it. But
a little bit about it. Yeah, I mean, the numbers don't look like there's any let up. They're getting worse. And people are getting co-infected and people are getting admitted to the hospital. Now, we have not had an increase in deaths. And I think part of that is because the vaccines have helped. But to speak to that, less than 20% of people who are eligible for the COVID vaccines and much less than that who are eligible for the RSV vaccines have not gotten it. So, you know, I just say to everybody, you do you, boo. I know what I'm going to do. You do. This is my professional opinion and my professional advice. I'm tired. As the infectious disease specialist, I'm saying today, January the 10th, 2024, being in the trenches every day like I am and being tarred, you do you, boo. Okay? That's my Case Western Reserve, University Hospitals of Cleveland, Cleveland Clinic trained response to everybody. Do you, boo. And see how that's going to work for you.
I know, right? I know.
You see how that's working for you.
That's it. That's it. So that's why I know people be like, oh, yeah, you be doing this. You be spraying, you know. Because my mom laughing, I say, Mom, and you know, she said, well, I just don't gather around nobody. I don't want to be bothered. I said, okay, that's a technique too. You could have that
where
you
don't. That works too.
That works too. I said, but I'm always going to be spraying my Lysol, whether it's COVID now or wherever.
I never stopped.
Because, you know, we got Nate, he's coming in and out, and we know something going to be on a sleeve or something.
No question. Right.
Right.
You know, we bringing something back in that house.
So I try to keep it spray and everything. You know, now that I know, I always pay attention to what you guys are saying as well.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, I mean, it's starting to back up the hospital. You know, you got RSV, you got flu, you got COVID. I mean, people got other stuff.
Beds. People can't get admitted to the hospital
for other stuff.
Disease and heart, kidney problems and strokes and all of that. It's hard to find a bed for people that have other stuff other than COVID and RSV and flu.
That's exactly it. So that's what's happening. So it's important that we pay attention. So I'm paying attention. And thank you, Dee. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You know, I just thank everybody that allows a platform for me to just come out and give the message because, you know, like I said, but if you get the message, then you do you, boo.
All right.
If the message doesn't move you at the end of the day, do you boo.
All right. That's it. Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe. I just wanted to break in for a quick second and introduce to you the sponsor and creator of this show. It's the company I own, Haywood-Doe Consulting Co., doing business as Vicki Doe Fitness. We are a health and wellness consulting company that specializes in designing and implementing medically integrated applied exercise physiology-based fitness wellness programs, initiatives, events, health promotion, and health education for special populations such as older folks, children, adolescents, overweight and obese individuals, women's health, and those who have chronic diseases. We have a team and network of healthcare professionals based out of Northeast Ohio, and we've worked with many companies, schools, churches, and organizations. If your goal is to transform your life by taking a holistic approach to living a life of health and total well-being, get in touch with us at info@vickidofitness.com. To find out more about our own site and online programs and services, go to vickidofitness.com. And now back to the show. Well, today, right, we talk about the importance of strength training and muscle health for health and longevity. And research has shown that muscular strength is inversely associated with the incident of many chronic diseases such as cardiovascular disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. It is essential that we consistently do strength training exercise to preserve our muscle function and health. We have joining us today Dr. Gabe Sanders, an assistant professor in the School of Human Services at the University of Cincinnati, and one of our very own Vicky Doe Fitness team members as well. And he will talk about all of the great things he is doing and give us tips on what we can do to maintain our muscle mass and health and live a life of health and longevity. And so let's listen to the interview with Dr. Gabe Sanders. Well, today we have here with us, we have Dr. Gabe Sanders. He's here. He's an assistant professor in the School of Human Services at the University of Cincinnati. Dr. Gabe Sanders, his research focuses on sports science and human performance, wearable technology, daily workloads, and fatigue in athletes. He's also the co-founder of a podcast platform called PodcastScholars.com. And this is a place where researchers upload and talk about their scientific research. And so Dr. Gabe, though, we cannot forget to say that Dr. Gabe Sanders has been with us, Vicky Doe Fitness, our team, for 10 years. It's probably been more than that. But 10 years, right? And he's our main freelance contributing writer for our blog. He also helped design some of the exercise training routines and things that we have on our Vicky Doe Fitness Health Fitness Training coaching app. And so we are truly grateful for his dedication in helping us to deliver evidence-based science and health education to our health and wellness programs that we have on our platform, our Vicky Doe Fitness Academy and our VickyDoeFitness.com. And today, Dr. Gabe is with us. He's joining us to talk about the role of strength training and muscle health and how these factors play an important role in combating chronic diseases and achieving optimal health. So let's get ready for an insightful conversation and a lot of fun because we just love Dr. Gabe here, don't we, Dee?
We do. We do. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. And so listen, we know you've been doing all kinds of things, all kinds of good things, and you're now at the University of Cincinnati. And so congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And so tell us some of the exciting things that you're doing. You know, you could talk about some of the latest research and all that kind of stuff. Tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. So really making the transition to the University of Cincinnati, my research hasn't changed or anything, but what we're really, it's kind of looking at different sports. Right now I have collaborations going on. We're looking at volleyball athletes. We're looking at other collaborations. We're looking at UFC athletes and weight cut data. We're looking at basketball athletes and even football as well. So And we kind of keep that all separate because the way that everything's being measured is different. But one thing that we're looking at is how can we enhance performance, but also identify indicators that can lead to excessive fatigue. So it's really just a matter of getting the research design within the sport season set up. So that way we can analyze these large, huge data sets. And like, what's interesting and what I want to get into a little bit more as, you know, this AI is becoming really prevalent and everything, and it can be a really valuable tool, is once you kind of analyze the data, set it in place, you can create processes that can help better identify if like problematic data points or problematic workloads based on some of the analysis, some of the exterior components that you look at, such as like VO2, such as heart rate, some of these other factors that can be involved, or stress. Like one of the things that I'm also interested in, and I could talk about this forever, but like literally also looking at like the subjective component to this. How do you feel? What is your school stress, peer stress, personal stress? And then can we identify some problematic workloads that either trigger those self-reported measures, or is it the other way? Do some of those self-reported measures result in problematic workloads or higher stress workloads? So it's probably an ongoing question that we'll never really know the answer to, but that's really where my research is focused on at the moment.
So Dr. Gabe, when you started out, it started me thinking about, you know, metrics and measuring and all of that. So one of the things that you said was about trying to find more indicators for fatigue. So then I'm like, especially since we're talking about strength training today, are we talking about fatigue in terms of muscle fatigue or just I'm tired fatigue? And what is that? And what does this look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it could be just as simple as I'm feeling fatigued. And then is what happens is every day we're collecting data on these athletes. And a lot of people do this with a wrist-worn heart rate monitor or, activity tracker. So basically, we can then look at what we really do to try to look at fatigue is a way to measure an athlete or an individual without them knowing that we're trying to gauge their fatigue. So in athletics, one of the things that we do is we do this with jump performance, like vertical jump measures, because a counter movement jump is a non-fatiguing assessment. So it's something that we can do with athletes just any day, every day, actually. And it won't fatigue them. It won't make them not perform well. But those indicators that we can get with a counter movement jump or a vertical jump can let us know if they're fatigued, just because that's more of a neuromuscular type of assessment. And if their power, the amount of force that they can produce and the way that they land, if that's off, and that then correlates or corresponds to certain changes in their workloads or maybe even their subjective, how they're feeling, what type of stress they're under, then that gives us an objective way to look at the data. So that way the athletes don't have to know that we're looking at their fatigue, because one of the things you want to try to avoid is somebody knowing that you're trying to look at their fatigue, because they'll fake it. Or, you know, as an athlete, they just want to compete. They want to be on the field. So you're really trying. And if you can disguise that, it can really help improve their overall health and well-being. Because at the end of the day, that's what you're trying to do, whether it's increase performance, reduce injuries, or just help them perform optimally. It's all to keep them, you know, injury free, feeling good, feeling optimal.
And we know that when I was back teaching dance, I used to tell the dancers, because they would come in early in the morning. I had an early class at about 8 o'clock, and the dance that I taught was very vigorous and all that. First of all, they wouldn't eat. How, you know, they're not eating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know how dancers can do. They're not eating. And then they would have practice late hours the night before, and then they come in trying to dance, you know. And I used to say, listen, no wonder you can't dance. First of all, you haven't eaten. That's number one. And number two, you're fatigued. So we probably need not to be dancing like this morning, because then I'm gonna contribute to your injury that you might have later on. They'd be like, what are you talking about, Dr. Doe? I said, listen, I'm telling you, if you are fatigued, you put yourself at risk for injury. So it's nice that you are doing that kind of cutting edge research. You know, what have you seen so far with the whole fatigue thing and athletes and all that performance? What are some of the outcomes and some of the things that you've seen that's significant?
Yeah, so what's significant is, in order to kind of ward off or prevent excessive fatigue, one of the best ways that we've found is to, A, like you said, you got to manage your weight. Having excessive weight loss further contributes to excessive fatigue, which, so we've found it even on both ends of the spectrum, whether excessive weight gain or excessive weight loss. And that's all, it's all based on caloric intake, right? Like, you have to be able to, and so I have a lot of thoughts on that, but you have to monitor weight, and that's in a positive way. Like, a lot of times with certain sports and primarily female sports, they don't want to have their athletes step on a scale. And because of some of the body issue or body image issues and disordered eating and stuff like that, which That all has merit too. But when you're talking about performance, monitoring weight is a very valuable way to make sure that they're eating, because like you said, it's very prevalent that they just don't eat, or it's very, I've seen a lot of things with athletes, men and women, to be honest with you, but that's important. So the weight status part, helping them to keep a consistent weight, also preseason VO2 max. So that's just an indicator of aerobic capacity, like how much air you can take in and deliver to working tissue. So the point of that is people who avoid excessive fatigue and appear to avoid injuries the best are those who are in the best shape, which that's probably not a big surprise, but that often gets overlooked in the off season. So the way a lot of athletics look, or college athletics or even high school, is that you have your off season, or you leave campus, you come back for your preseason and you're out of shape. So you have to go through weeks of high intensity work. You know, when you come back and practice for the first time in college, it's hard, and I don't care what sport it is. They're working you, and that opens you up to injury. But anyways, the athletes who are in the best shape, especially coming into the season, do the best. And between the VO2, the aerobic capacity, and some of the weight management components, those are two of the best ways to stay healthy and perform optimally throughout a full season.
I remember when I used to do running, I don't do it anymore, but when I was into running and a lot more long distance running, not a marathon, but I did, you know, I was with a lot of people who did marathons, and that's a whole big thing with that. They have, when you start out getting ready to do the training, which is why I never could do it, because I just didn't have the time. There's a whole eating process. Yeah. From the time that you start training up until that last day, just the night before the race. And I know when I used to do the 10Ks, there was a whole program for us to eat, about how you would eat up until the night before whatever that you race. But one other comment that you made was that, you know, back in the days when, I'll just pull an example, Michael Phelps was training, and they would talk about, it was always amazing to me because I like to swim. Those swimmers have to eat a lot. He was eating like 3,000 or 4,000 calories a day just for his endurance, which, you know, is a lot, but it's not like eating pies and cakes. It's, you know, it's,
but that's
going to produce some energy.
Right. And so that's why it's important when we talk, you know, when it comes to just regular people or athletes, we cannot, you know, because, you know, that's my soapbox, talking about these anti-obesity medications and this and that. I mean, OK, that's great to jumpstart, but you cannot not eat what you're supposed to do, healthy eating, your proteins, all of those things that you supposed to do, because we're feeding our body, and our exercise is important too, because we're made to move. So anything that you do, whether it's just to live a healthy life, whether it's to be the top performance athlete, we still get back to what you're doing as far as your exercise and how you eat. And so that's why we're so glad that you're here, so that we can talk about, you know, bringing that home to muscle health. And so, listen, I decided that this year would be, now some of it is because I've been listening to the whole anti-obesity, the semaglutide and all that kind of stuff, and how one of the major things of major weight loss, and we know that just regular weight loss, that's why we always focus in as far as exercise when someone's losing weight, is to make sure you do strength training to keep that muscle health and muscle mass. And so this year we're going to focus, and you're going to be writing a lot of articles and blogs on that, the importance of doing strength training to keep our muscle health, to keep that up, and to combat these metabolic diseases. What's your view? Let's talk about it. The scientific view, your view, evidence-based, most especially since we are exercise physiologists, the important reason as to why muscle health is so important and crucial for maintaining our health, most especially as we age.
I mean, it's critical. And that's the thing, you know, I worked in a medically based fitness center, worked with cardiac rehab patients, bariatric patients, pulmonary rehab patients, like you name it. And almost, I'd say 100% of them, after they did their exercise and their strength training for, you know, any amount of time, 2 weeks, a month, they just always would say to me, I wish I would have done this my whole life. So essentially, just physiologically, what that does, I mean, your muscles, number one, they help hold your bone structure up. And number two, they also protect your organs. I mean, your vital organs all within, you know, your ribs protect your chest cavity. But other than that, from your abdominal region, your muscles protect everything, keep everything in place. But, you know, aside from that, your muscles down on like a cellular level, there's a lot of things going on there. And that also improves the way that your body uses nutrients. Like we talked about nutrition, it improves the way your body delivers oxygen. All of that is done on a very muscular and cardiovascular level. Your heart is a muscle. So you doing the strength training is one of the most important components for anybody, male, female, kids, adults, you name it. And part of that is also, it does enhance your bone mineral density. Which is very important. It increases the strength of your ligaments and tendons. And as we age, is what happens is your ligaments and tendons become more lax. Now, the declines will happen no matter what, but strength training limits the rate at which those are going to decline, right? Like, I mean, as you age, everything, for lack of a better way of saying it, it falls apart. But how do you slow that fall apart? You can really minimize it through exercise and strength training, really, and in fact, almost keep it negligent and non-existent. And I think a lot of the research shows that you can really keep it. You can actually increase power, muscular power and strength to a certain extent up until like the seventh decade of life or something like that. I think a lot of the research points to that seventh decade being where a lot of the inevitable changes will happen. But, you know, when you think of that, like, if you're 40 or you're 50 or you're 30 or 60, you can really, and even here's the thing, even when you're 70 and 80, 90, I've seen a lot of 90-year-olds who do really well because they're strength training, they're mm-hmm. exercising. Mm-hmm. So really that muscular health piece in the strength training, it really all revolves around keeping your body working optimally. And it does that even on the cellular level.
Yeah. So you have anything else to say, Dee?
You know, when they talk about the new term is super agers, and the super agers are the ones that are like in their 80s and 90s that are still, you know, maybe they'll do like a 5K or doing these kinds of things. And as you said, those are the ones that have continued to keep their strength training, all of that. You know, they just don't go from being slugs at 70 and then super agers at 90. So, and I think it's important too, because, you know, 80 is the new 40 or whatever. People, as we're keeping people alive longer, and people being alive longer are more active as they live longer. So I think it's important to get that information out. But the other question that I have, since we're talking about that, is, you know, let's talk about women, for example, because I know that there's sometimes a hesitancy or reticence for women to do all this, because I'm just going to gain more, you know, muscle and bulk. I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah.
But can you just comment on that and how that's not necessarily true? And actually almost kind of impossible, right?
It's impossible. So the women you might see on, you know, looking really, I mean, I hate to say it, and you know, someone may disagree, but they're on performance enhancing drugs that are really right. balked up. I mean, there's no, so I'm approaching 40 years old, and it is darn near impossible for me to put on muscle mass in a significant way at my age. So even when I was in my 20s, I played college football. It was hard. Now, some people can gain mass a little bit easier than others. That's all genetics and whatnot. But for women, the testosterone difference between men and women, that's the difference. That is the difference in the amount of muscle you're going to gain from a mass standpoint. Now, women, that you can still lift weights and you can lift heavy weights and you will get more toned muscles, stronger. That's all very positive. But to get the bulk and the size, I mean, you have to be on performance enhancing drugs, like not just like ones you get at GNC, not just ones you get at Vitamin Shop or on, like we're talking like the stuff that is, you know, illegal, so to speak. And the volume of that drug is also significant. So there's a difference between taking, you know, hormones to optimize your health and hormones to bulk up, get big in that regard. But as far as in the context of women and what you were asking me, it is girls at a young age should be doing exercise, push-ups, pull-ups, strength training of any kind. You know, it is so valuable for girls. And it's valuable for everybody, but especially girls, because what happens too, there's several things that girls have, you know, wider hip structures. So they're automatically their hips and then the way that their legs go in make them more susceptible to injuries, which is why, you know, ACL rate, injury rates and everything are so much higher in young female athletes. But by doing, and you combine that, it's even still very prevalent today in high school. Girls will be told, or even in college, I could go on forever about this. They're told by their coaches, not their strength coaches, but by some of their coaches who may be more old school, so to speak, that wasn't part of the culture. You don't need to do strength training or whatever. It can slow you down. Those are things I've heard just as recent as last year. So the opposite is the most, you know, that notion couldn't be more wrong, because like we said, strength training, it increases muscle strength and tone, but also it impacts ligaments and tendons. So the more that you weight train, the stronger and tighter those ligaments and tendons are going to become, which helps ward off injury. And here's where it becomes even more vital for women, is the more strength and resistance training you can do at a young age, the better your bone mineral density, the more likely you are from not having osteoporosis as you age. And again, that starts at a very young age, and it's healthy. At the end of the day, whenever I hear that about young girls or women, and my mom is one of those, I've been trying to get her to lift weights for can't tell you how long. It's just healthy. It's good for you. It helps strengthen your muscles. And that can also lead to improving whatever cardio you're doing, it can help improve your cardio as well, just because it does enhance the muscle rigidity and the actual physiological benefits that come with strength training.
It burns fat.
Yes. So that's it. That's an interesting, it's hard to say one or the other. It's beneficial for burning fat. Is weight training, just doing it, is that going to be your end all be all? No, I think you have to do both in terms of fat burning and diet. I mean, but having more, here's where that comes into play. More muscle mass will expend more calories than fat. So a pound of muscle requires more calories to maintain than a pound of fat. Does that make sense? So like that's where that notion kind of comes into play, or that concept.
Yes. And then also with the muscle health and strength training and all of that for muscle mass, as we age, you know, we got to think about chronic diseases such as type 2 diabetes and all these things, and metabolic health. And so having muscle health and function helps decrease some of that risk of having those dysfunction of the metabolic, you know, health and metabolic diseases. And so that's why it's important as well, because it's active. You got to have all of those functions of your body functioning correctly to, like you said, maintain that muscle. And then it just looks great. When you know,
yeah, I mean,
for posture and all that,
and you feel like the way, you know, so all this stuff it really impacts your mental well-being too. And like, I know my worst days are the days that I'm sitting at my computer working and I haven't exercised, and you don't really realize that if you're a non-exerciser, you don't realize, I think, how bad you. But the moment, every time I've talked to people and they took up an exercise program, again, it can just be light. Always start light, right? Start light and work your way up. Like, the moment you do too much too fast, you get injured or you hurt, or, you know, you're less likely to do it. But if you just, once you start and you feel that, I mean, you feel energized. I know, like, excessive exercise and stuff, you'll feel tired because you just, you know, exerted yourself to a very peak top, you know, exercise session. But like, good exercise helps you feel energized. And I don't think people really understand that until they take up an exercise program. And then they go a week or they get out of it and they're like, oh, my energy's down. I'm just not feeling great. But there's a, when you get the blood flowing, your brain requires blood. So by getting more blood flowing, that affects your brain. It affects how you feel, your outlook on life. Like, there's a lot of valuable things exercise does. And, you know, strength training specifically with muscle health, you feel a little bit more confident when you can be a little stronger. You're like, oh, I feel, you know, you feel a little stronger. It helps your mind for sure.
I know. And so, yes, 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 yes. We are talking about strength training today with the one and only Dr. Gabe Sanders. And guess what? I want to veer off a little bit because I want to ask you about your podcast. What is it? Podcastscholars.com. So what's that?
Podcastscholars.com. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So there was a concept that I thought of, and then I reached out to some people and I found someone interested who's a software engineer who was interested in collaborating with me. And we just wanted to keep it simple, but essentially provide a platform that people could explain the research. And that way, when you went to that platform, you know, you could actually hear someone talk about the research or someone in general talking about research. Now, in that podcast, which is a video format or audio, was also linked to the actual paper itself. And that way you could just easily get it, click it, read it. And anyways, the purpose of this was really like, it wasn't anything super novel, but it was just a place that would be more centralized. So for example, if you go to YouTube and you try to look up, you know, muscle health and aging, who knows, you know what I mean? It could be, who knows what you'll find.
I know.
So the premise of this was just to create something more basic that if you looked up something, you could hopefully find it. So it's just a growing thing. And it's just meant to really be a way to improve research and research dissemination and hopefully help people maybe understand research a little bit better by having someone explain it. Because there's times that I write a paper and it's just a big, long paper. And I could probably summarize that thing in a way that's digestible and understandable in, you know, 5 minutes or so.
And that's what
whereas if you tried to read it, it could be pretty complex.
And that's what we try to do here at Vicky Doe Fitness. And you know of that too. We take a lot of these evidence-based concepts and healthy living, and we try to make them, like I say, user-friendly so people can do them. Because, you know, if you don't know what we're talking about, you certainly ain't going to do nothing, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Nothing is better than just keeping it understandable. There's a time and place to be technical and be ultra scientific-y and stuff like that, which I don't even know if scientific-y is a word, but
we'll use it.
But simplicity is a beautiful thing.
Yes. So D, anything else?
Well, because
else?
If you make it too technical, you lose your audience. You know, you lose the people that you're trying to deliver the message to, and they'll, you know, cut off immediately. That's why when I give the message on COVID and so forth, if I go on television, you got to make it so that people understand. They don't want to hear all that esoteric stuff. Just to keep it, as they say, I guess it's bad to say, but keep it simple, stupid, you know?
Yep.
I mean, that really does make a difference because you lose your audience.
Yes, you will.
Does.
Yes, you will. So Gabe, we're so glad, Dr. Gabe, we're so glad that you're here, but let's at least summarize some of this stuff here. When it comes to strength training and muscle health, what are some tips? Name two or three tips that you would tell us to do, an average Joe Smo to do in order to maintain, you know, health and longevity.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one's just get started. And I say that in all honesty, because like, I know people, they go to a fitness center or a gym or whatever it is, and they see these machines and they can get intimidated. They're like, I don't know how to work it. I don't know how to do that. And I'll be honest with you. I you know, have been in gyms. I've worked in them. I've worked with people. A lot of that is just, it's a thought that they have that's just not true. I'm saying that because I can't think of the word I want to say, but
maybe misconcept or myth.
Like, it's just they think that's what people are thinking about them, or they think that they're silly because they don't know how to, but could be further from the truth. People, when they go to gyms and whatnot, they just want to be healthy, exercise. And like, I think getting started, regardless of where you go, and more often than not, there'll be someone there to show you, to orient you on the equipment, just get started. And I think weight machines, strength machines are the best, especially even, I do strength machines. It allows me to do different exercises and to push weight without the risk of injury. Even, you know, I've lifted my whole life, but even at that, I still like to do the weight machines. But getting started is super important, and you just get started. You don't have to, you can be at the lowest setting. It doesn't matter. And just getting accustomed to the machines or the exercise devices or whatever it may be, just learning how to use them is the most critical part, because once you become confident and you know what you're doing, then all those thoughts that you have about what other people are thinking or how do I do this, they just leave and you can just do it.
Misconceive. And then, you know, found out the word misconceive notions.
Yes. Thank you. You know, and then the second part is really like, what are you doing? So how do you do it? Are you doing upper body one day, lower body the next? Are you going, there's so many different things you can do. But like, just keep it simple, like we said, right? Especially when you're starting off. As you get more into it, you can start reading about things. You can start looking into different things. You can ask your trainer or somebody working at the rec center, or the fitness center, how can you do, you know, vary your workout. But if you're doing, you know, 3 days a week is a great start. I think it's always good to increase to 4 to 5 when it in terms of strength training. But 3 days is a great start, and you can do total body 3 days a week. Total body, just go through a series of exercises where you work all your major muscle groups. And while that may, you know, and again, if you go to a fitness center, all those machines are there, and they typically have them set up. So it's a good, like, go to this machine and this machine and this machine. But the other part is really for muscular health. It's, you know, you always want to start in the repetitions is, you know, that's how many times you can lift the weight.
That's what I was going to ask you. More reps, less weight, more weight, less rep.
Yes. So the goal is always to gradually increase weight. But to start, you start light, and your repetitions should always be. I think the American College of Sports Medicine, they recommend one set, 8 to 12 reps. And then for people, I forget what the actual number is, people older than 50 or maybe older than 40, they recommend 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter which one of those you choose. Honestly, stick with 10. Mm-hmm. Just say, I'm going to get on this machine, I'm going to do 10 reps. And so when you start off, the single set training is good, and the single set training will be valuable. You'll reach a point in time where you should probably do 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. And then if more advanced, 4 to 5 reps. But that higher volume, the more repetitions is what's going to help you really increase your muscle strength and mass. And then you gradually increase the weight over time. Mm-hmm. And it's what we say is, when you're doing an exercise machine, you go until you feel volitional fatigue. So you don't want to feel pain necessarily, because then you could get injured, especially for a novice exerciser, somebody just starting off. But you do want to feel fatigued. And when you feel fatigued, you may be able to push one more rep. You may be done at that point. But the moment that you can do 10 reps and it's easy, you definitely need to increase the weight. And that's the one thing that's nice about machines, is that your technique and everything is just very, it's the machines really force you to have good technique, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful thing. So that's really important, is just, obviously you want to work heavier weight gradually, but the especially as we age, it's more beneficial to do a higher volume of work. And when I say volume, that refers to the number of repetitions you do, multiply that by the number of sets you do, multiply that by the weight. And it's an easy way to kind of think about it. It's just the overall work that you're doing in terms of strengthening. Yeah, so I think that that was my the third part, Dr. D, as you really helped me, is really just gradually increasing weight. That's the third part, is don't do, if it's easy, you should increase.
All right. Well,
Last question, Gabe, how can you help us in Northeast Ohio get out of bed and motivate us to get into coal and drive over to the gym?
You know,
that's the biggest one. Getting up,
and you know, that's where
I'm 5 minutes from the gym. I can't get out in the cold. Help me, help me.
You know, that's a good point though, is like, I think you have to, the hardest part is getting out of the house, but get a membership, get out of the house. You're there. You have to do it. If you can just get to your car, force yourself to drive there. When you walk in, you're there. You got to exercise, right? I think that's the hardest part, is just making it part of your day. And people's lives are crazy. They're working, they have families, they've got, you know, X, Y, Z to do, but it's your body, it's your health. We all get one life to live. So it's that good for you, and it can help you that much, but really it's more of a discipline than it is a motivation. I'm not always motivated to work out or, you know, to be physically active, but it's just a discipline that I've got to in my life, where I think I dislike the way I feel more than maybe I like the way I feel, but that's not necessarily the case for everybody, but it's really just making it part of your life. And you'll always be changing. You'll always be doing different workouts or, you know, different machines or different weights or something like that. And sometimes you back off of what you did and do something different. But it's really just, I think that's the biggest thing, is I recommend is trying to get a membership and trying to get out of the house and go, because then, I don't know, there's something synergistic too about other people exercising and whatnot too. Mm-hmm. You feel a little bit more, you know, invigorated, and I think it's a good thing.
I know. And that's why when with our program, our step-by-step weight loss boot camp program, our Vicky Doe Fitness Academy, and we're adding some stuff on there now, we have it where it's in an app, because yeah, you can do it at home, but it's even greater when you take your phone and you go to a gym and you follow what we're doing, but you're along with other people as well. And so, I have a gym at home. We always have had one, but I still, now I'm starting to get back, because I'm real funny. Dr. D know now, I'll Lysol somebody up when it comes to thinking about COVID. Yeah. But I'm starting to go back at least a couple of days in the gym, because it makes me go to the gym. But then also, it's just something nice to see other people exercising as well.
It is.
I know. Well, Dr. Gabe Sanders, we're so glad that you came to talk with us today. And so how can other folks find out, you know, keep in touch with you or find out some of the things that you're doing? Give us, you know, ways that we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I kind of share most of my work on is on LinkedIn.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's a professional website. You can just look my name up, Gabe Sanders. I don't know if LinkedIn has actual handles like Twitter necessarily.
I just think names.
I think you just Google LinkedIn names.
On LinkedIn, my name's Gabe Sanders. And again, I post my research. I also have a website called allinstrength.com, where I put up like recent published papers that I have, and anything that I have going on, I put on like my personal website. It's probably the easiest way. And on that website, there's a contact form if you ever want to email. I have, I've done stuff in the past. I initially started All in Strength as just like a business to create quality high school strength and conditioning programs, but I did that for a while. And so I've got some high schools across the Midwest really who use those programs, but then I decided, you know, it was more important for me to make these available. So they're available for free on my website, downloaded, and they're linear periodized programs for high schools and high school athletes. And there's individual programs and all that stuff. So it's really the best way to get a hold of me or reach out.
All right.
I found you, Gabe Sanders, PhD on LinkedIn, University of Cincinnati. So it's as easy as that.
Awesome.
All right, Gabe. Listen, we enjoyed you today. And you know, I appreciate all the stuff that you do for Vicky Doe Fitness. And I hope that I'll see you at maybe the ACSM in Boston. I'm going to try to go this year.
Yeah, I haven't finalized that yet, but hopefully I get to see you soon. It'd be great to also, if there's something going on back in Kent, hopefully. I know sometimes they do some meetups.
Yes, they do.
You know, board meetings or whatever. I can't think of what they actually do, but I'd love to get back there for sure.
All right. That's so
great. It'll be great to see you.
It'll be great to see you too. And thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking with both of you today. I appreciate it.
Same here. Take care.
All right.
Thanks.
Now, this ends our show, Dee. So do you have some tips that we can think about?
Yeah, Vicky, I like the fact that you asked him to give us some tips, some steps that we should take or do or listen to or whatever. And there are a few that I jotted down. Number one, just get started. Mm-hmm. Just get out of the house, go to the gym, get a membership, and just get started. And when you walk in, don't be intimidated by what you see. Just baby steps. Number two, he felt that you should start out on strength machines, and there's always somebody in there to help you. Somebody always, and don't feel like, you know, somebody's saying, oh, you know, you don't know how to use this. That's not the way it is. And he said, you know, then just go in and figure out how you're going to do this. He said he would suggest 3 days a week, upper body maybe one day, lower body the next day, but alternate. You don't want to do, you know, as I thought, I'm not exercising right now, but I'm definitely going to get back into it. You got to change up because your body gets used to anything, and then stuff gets boring, and then that's when you drop out. You have to alternate doing these exercises. And then the question that I asked too was, you know, more weights, more reps, less reps, more weight, all of that. And he said that to start out slow with maybe 10 reps, with 8 to 10 reps, lightweight. And then if you're over the age of 50, 10 to 15 reps, lightweight. But he said when it started to become easy over the time that you're doing it, then that's when you want to increase your weight. So that was very helpful information for me personally about how to approach this. So it was altogether good. I thoroughly enjoyed hearing him. He had a lot to say.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so, yes, I appreciate Dr. Gabe Sanders. We go way back at Kent State University. Yeah. Yes. He's doing great things. And we appreciate all the things that he does for Vicky Doe Fitness to really look at some of the articles, the evidence-based article that he writes for our blog. Make sure you go to our blog, VickyDoeFitness.com. Go to our platform and just hit blog. Those are where you will find Dr. Gabe Sanders articles. He's also on LinkedIn, Dr. Gabe Sanders, PhD. He's on LinkedIn. And you can find out about him there as well. And as always, for more information, go to our website, VickyDoeFitness.com. And remember, if you have any questions, comments, or just something to say, tweet us, email us, go on Facebook, and share with us your thoughts.
You've been listening to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. Vicky Doe is owner of Vicky Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum, a place to discuss, learn, and participate in healthy living. You can get in touch with Vicky by email at info@VickyDoeFitness.com.